God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds that as your scripture is read, we will receive it with gladness and obedience. Amen. Our scripture reading is Psalm 136, and it's responsively, and if it doesn't show up there, you get to say after every phrase that I say, you get to say, His love endures forever. That's your part. Practice with me. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To him alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
He gives food to every creature.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
His love
endures forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nona. Our second scripture reading today is from the first letter of John, chapter 4. Now we pick up where we left off last week at verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love the brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is the word of the Lord. Following my message today, I'm going to be doing something I wouldn't normally do, and that is rushing out to try to catch my daughter Grace's guitar recital in Southeast Portland. I won't tell you what time that starts because you would be horrified. And as Nona said, we'll just pray for safe travel along the way because it'll be a little tight. So thank you for allowing us to do that. Nona will come up and pray for us when I'm finished, and Pastor John back there will give us a benediction too. So thank you both for serving today. So we began talking about this chapter, this passage last week, starting with verse 7 of it. And it's been just a little dip into this first letter of John, which I shared last week was either authored by John, the disciple of Jesus, or maybe someone in his community. But either way, it was actually written as a letter to a group of people who had experienced some kind of separation or schism in their faith community. There'd been some kind of split of sorts with people going out, it says, and I'm sure that it was a painful time, arguments and things like that, and you can see little pieces of that as you read through the letter in its entirety. People left this particular faith community, or maybe group of house churches. In any case, there's a split. There's some people separate from one another. His concern, as he writes this, is more for the people who are left, who are still part of that community. And that's where we began last week. And I shared what was most important to him in this letter is that they remember who they are, even following something like that to happen, and that they love one another. He reminded them, God in Jesus Christ is the very definition of what love is. He says in verse 7, if you have a Bible open, he says, God is the source of love. He says, love is defined for us in that definition, God's gift to us in Jesus Christ. That's 9 and 10. And for all of those reasons, we are to love one another. And we talked about empathy. And don't forget, I have a little gift for you on the tables. I won't be here to tell you afterwards. Little gift for you about empathy in the fellowship hall. We talked about empathy and love for one another as really needed in our world today and as a non-negotiable for John as he writes. It's an imperative, and it's imperative for us too. And I finished up last week with a few hard questions for us to think about. As we encounter family members in the next couple of weeks around the Thanksgiving table, but we disagree with politically perhaps, I asked you how you find common ground with others, something to think about. And we explored this text as a faith community, asking what group of people we may learn from if it's true that knowledge increases empathy. And I think that's true. Of course, when we step into someone else's shoes or a group of people's shoes, empathy is increased. We remember, as I said last week, and this was kind of lingering in our discussion today and Bible study as well prior to the service, that this was written, we read it as individuals, but we remember this was written in terms of their common life together as a community, and we can read it that way too. And we can remember that love is a core value for all of us as a group of people, as a church, as a faith community. And so today we'll explore what that might look like. Presbyterian pastors are required to take Hebrew. Yeah, and I was no exception. In fact, I had to take it twice. Not for those reasons. Be nice, Jason. About 12 or 13 years ago, I took my first Hebrew class, and I have really fond memories of that class because of the kind of, they call it trauma bonding, that took place during that time. There were tears in the bathroom. We would come back, and there were only 7 or 8 of us in the class. We had to read aloud every class. Hebrews read backwards. My kids, I was asking my son today if he remembers learning the Hebrew alphabet in the car, and he does. There's a little song, and he does remember that. We played Go Fish. Anyway, our final exam was we had to read what's called the Shema aloud in Hebrew. Shema is the first Hebrew word in Deuteronomy 6:4-9, which means hear. Hear, O Israel, or obey, or respond, or all of those things together. Hear what I'm about to say. And this is as Moses had commands from the Lord for the Israelites, for their life together. So I'll read it in English to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I'm sure you recognize that beautiful passage. The Israelites were asked to love the Lord with all their hearts and their soul and their strength and their resources and their sort of muchness. I read from one Hebrew scholar who reads much better than me. Just everything that they were and all of their, what do the kids say today? They say, he's a little extra. Read it with all your extra. Love God with your extra-ness is what it means there. Our Jewish friends, we've called them Jewish Christians as we've looked at the New Testament together, would have been really familiar with the Shema and with these Hebrew texts. And we remember another passage when someone came up and asked Jesus, and this is in the New Testament, which of the commandments was the most important? And what did he say? He referred back to that, didn't he? He said, the most important one is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. By saying this, Jesus is tying those two things together. Loving the Lord, loving your neighbor. And love is the very fulfillment of that law, he's saying. Love has been the point all along. Now, John, as he writes this letter, he knows all of this. He's very familiar. And they would have known, as hearers of this letter, the Shema. They would have known how to recite it. They've been reminded of Jesus' teachings on love, knowing that practice has been expanded. Not only was their love of God connected to obedience of God, but their love for their brothers and sisters and for other people was as well. Remember here, the Shema, it's connected to obedience, not just here when you tell your kids something or your dog something and they hear it but they don't do it. Hear, respond, obey, and love in this way. As I said last week, it was an essential, it wasn't negotiable, and John reminded them that even when people had left their community and there was sort of infighting and disagreements and hurt and just messy, icky stuff, it was of utmost importance for them to remember who they were and to love one another. In fact, it was so crucial that he reverses it for them in verse 20. And he says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Those are pretty strong words. It's impossible, he says, to love God if you don't love your brother or your sister. As John Calvin said, the sum of the law is the love of God and of our neighbor. This principle should regulate our whole life. Their obedience to love God with all of that muchness or extra stuff was not John, the gospel writer's concern. What he seems most concerned about was their obedience to God in loving one another. It wasn't the love of the Lord he was worried about. It was the love of everyone else. I have shared with you before about my dog. He is someone I love talking about, and so we'll talk about him again. I apologize in advance. Animals make great examples. Our dog's name is Scout, and he's a rescue dog, and I got him when he was 4 months old. And as legend has it, he was roaming the streets of Mexico, and then he was picked up and taken to a kill shelter in Texas. And then from the kill shelter, he was adopted by an organization, a nonprofit, who then gave him a foster family down there in Texas. And then he was put on a truck, and he was shipped to myself, Becca and I standing in an Olive Garden parking lot where we picked him up. This is one of those stories where it just takes on this legend and grows every time you hear it, right? Scout's an Australian cattle dog, and I think some border collie, and I think some pointer. And so as a mutt, we don't know much about him, but what we do know is Scout needs a job. Some of you are nodding. Good. This is something I've definitely learned, and yeah. He has always slept very well. We are very, very blessed. He sleeps a lot. He sleeps through the night. And this, I think, is because he works all day at his job. He works very hard all day. His brain is always on. In the summers, he loves to live in the backyard because that's his job. He protects the perimeter of the fence, you know, and kind of near the gate on the other side, and he protects his pack from something dangerous that might come. In the winter, he gets a little depressed, but it's the same thing. Checks the front door, checks the back door, goes upstairs and looks outside the top window, and he protects all of us. Love always protects, right? They say. And that's how he shows his love for all of us. Now, there's a task defined by love, or a job, here in this scripture. And it's found in verse 17. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. The very definition of love, as I said last week, is God's gift in Jesus Christ. But love, he's saying, is made complete or perfected or whole among all of us. Today in Bible study, we kind of talked about how do you reflect Jesus' love to what seems to be an ugly world a lot of the time. And one of those answers is we do it all together instead of just as individuals. So this is not only from me, not only from you, but all of us working together. And that, like Scout, that's our job. That's how people are to know Christ. They know love through all of us and what we are representing together. We work together. I spent some time on looking at our mission statement this week and looking at our website. We spend time loving our community. We work together to love God and for others to know that love. I don't know all of the origins of the sign behind me. Can you see it back there? Love spoken here. If you look online, you can't really see it that well. Okay. The love spoken here. I won't prop it up. I don't know all of the origins of that, but as I prepared this week, something occurred to me, and there's a double meaning here. Love is spoken here at HPC, yes, because of our words and because of our actions, and I'm proud of us. This is an amazing church community. It's just an amazing congregation to be part of. But the double meaning, if you remember last week, love is spoken here because the very definition of love is what? Is God and Jesus Christ. Love spoken here. Our first core value as a community, love. So for now, what does that look like for us as a church, as a community? I didn't have Nona read the entire psalm today because, my goodness, if you've seen the number of verses, she would have had to repeat herself so much that we joked, surely we would get it, that God's love endures forever. We had to say it 26 times, right? We would get it. But I encourage you to take a look at the whole psalm, because just as the psalm lists things that God has done for the Israelites, for example, talks about parting of the Red Sea and God's love for us, you can list your own right in there, insert it right into the psalm. You might say, to God who provided a place for me to live or food for me to eat, his love endures forever. And when you're done reflecting on this as an individual, you can look at it as a part of this church. Each one of you is an important part of this church. We look at it as a congregation. To God, who chartered HPC in 1968, sustaining his people through many challenges, our response is... Beautiful, I love that. To God who raised the church following catastrophic fire. We won't go through the whole thing, but I think you get my point. God has been so faithful to this church and so faithful to each one of our families. And so I encourage us to reflect on the eternal nature of that love for us. A couple of questions before we go today, and yes, I'll email them again to you this week. The first one is, how do those outside of our church building know love through us and during this season of our time together? How do those outside of our church building know love through us? And second, how does God's love endure here inside this building, specifically during this time? A lot of different things have happened, and there's been some new people and some shifts and things like that. And I think when we reflect on what God has done, we grow in knowledge of God's love for us. So I encourage you to do that. God is truly faithful, and before I leave for this recital today and rush down Highway 26, I want to pray for you all. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you again for this church body, for one another, for the gift of being together and the gift of challenge and encouragement and encouragement to grow in knowledge of you. And we think about what our lives might look like if we felt grounded in your love, your eternal love for us all the time. Maybe there would be no worry and fighting as this community experienced in our scripture. Maybe a lot of things that we struggle with would disappear. And so we pray for increased knowledge and just awareness of how much you love us and how faithful you are to us as a church and for us as individual people. Thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus. We look forward to celebrating in next week and in coming weeks and as we enter Advent. Thank you for guiding us each day by your Spirit as to how to love one another even better than we already do. And thank you for this special community and for the love that they have for one another and for their neighbors. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.